The tension was so thick that you could cut it with a knife. Glad to know your cliches. Remembering a table in the wilderness, the table of a man named Elkanah and his two wives, a table as they journeyed from their home to the holy place of Shiloh and back, a table that was hardly a table of grace. Perhaps you can get the picture of this table. Now, I'm not a student of multiple marriages, multiple wives, but knowing a little bit about that time frame, I know that if this family was like most, at home, each wife would have their own dwelling. But on the road, it's a different story. On the road, everybody must travel together. Everybody must sleep in the same tent. Everybody must eat at the same table. Can you imagine? Perhaps you can. Perhaps you've traveled with brothers and sisters when you were little and known those times when siblings were anything but friends. A table of grace? Hardly. These two women were lost in something that was old as time itself. For that family, the understanding in that era was that a woman's worth and value as a person depended on her ability to produce children. And one had that ability, and the other did not. One had children, the other was barren. Penina and Hannah, you heard the story. And perhaps you can imagine the conversation around the table. Jealousy? Perhaps. Jealousy of one over the other, that the other had children. Jealousy of the other over the one, for the one had the love of the husband. A table of grace? Hardly. And yet, as the story goes, there is this one who could not be consoled by her husband. Now, Elkanah, I think, was a good man. But I think, frankly, like most men, he struggled for words. He tried to say the right thing. But when you, if you were Hannah, were lacking that one thing you thought you needed in life, and your husband had already been blessed with children, how would you have responded if he, like Elkanah, said to you, "Am I not more to you than 10 sons? Graceful? Not. They came to Shiloh, the holy place in the northern part of Israel, to offer up. It was supposed to be a time of joy, a time of celebration, a time of sacrifice, returning renewed to face into another period, another harvest, another year. But not for Hannah. Now, this is where the story gets interesting. For Hannah goes by herself to the tabernacle. And there at the tabernacle, an interesting thing happens. I don't know if you caught it. But she walks by the priest. She walks by Eli. She didn't go to the priest. She walks past him. Did you catch that? And she goes into the tabernacle. And there she pours her heart out to God. Jewish rabbis have called her prayer one of the deepest understandings of the most raw form of prayer there is. It almost sounds to us like a bargaining prayer. If you will do this for me, God, I will do this. Have you ever done that? You ever tried to do an if-then prayer with God? Have you? It's okay if you've had, because that means you're human. I have. We all have. That's prayer at its most basic forms. Sometimes in this day and age, we try to approach prayer with an enlightened sense, because we know that we're not bargaining with God. But as a result, we often don't bring to God the very things that we need to bring to God. We don't lay down our cards. We don't let it all hang out with the Lord, giving to God the very thing that God wants to hear. Did you catch the bargain? God, if you will look upon, if you have favor upon me, if you will see me and grant me a child, then I will raise him. I will raise him with very strict, that Nazarite vow, you know, that certain things, you know, just like others have, like John the Baptist did, was raised. If you will do this, I will raise him in this way, and I will return him to you. And if then. On the way out, were you listening? On the way out, Eli mistook the prayer, as we so often mistake prayer. He mistook it for drunkenness. But she corrected him. Then an interesting thing, he did hear her, and I imagine he mistook her probably because she bypassed him. I mean, he's the priest. He's the pastor of the church. He's the one that you should come to. And people come and say, pray for me, pastor. Pray for me, pastor. But she went beyond him, knowing that she didn't need necessarily a priest, that she could come to God directly. She entered, if you will, as a woman of faith, which is a rather amazing thing when you think about it. In fact, if you look in the Bible, some of the most spectacular things were done by women of faith. This is a very pivotal moment in the life of Israel. I mean, just back up beyond the person for the moment. Now, in our English Bibles, in the order in which the books are found, the book of Samuel follows the book of Ruth. And last week, I had a sermon on the story of Ruth and her mother-in-law, Naomi. But in the Hebrew order in the Bible, the books of Samuel follow the book of Judges. If you know anything about the book of Judges, you know that here is the story of the children of Israel after they are in the promised land, and you've got various different leaders that have arisen that God has brought forth to guide the people. But at the end, it concludes with a mess. Because the people are trying to live out the law of God, and they are messing up royally. They are doing the right things, but for the wrong reasons. Now, in the English, in the our order that we have of the Bible, it's followed by the book of Ruth, which is, in a sense, how a foreigner by the name of Ruth does it right. And it shows how the law is supposed to happen. Well, the same thing is here in Samuel. And it's led by a woman of faith by the name of Hannah. And she is ushering in a very new page in the life of God's people. And she does it first with a very raw prayer, which God hears. In a sense, she prays her way into the story of God's people. Now, I say that because I want us to get a sense of the fact that we are so often trying to find God in our story. Where are you, God, when I'm facing all the things that I am facing? Where is God in all of this mess? When really, the act of faith is to put our story into God's story, to see our story in God's story, rather than see God's story in ours. Instead of trying to bring God into our heart, to rather realize that we are in the heart of God. Subtle difference? I think not. Because the story is not really about us. Like the story was not really about Hannah. The story was not really about Elkanah and his bumbled attempt to make his wife feel better. Am I not worth more to you than 10 sons? What kind of statement is that? The story is not about Elkanah. The story is about God. Just like the story that we're in is about God. And we step into the very presence of God. The curtain is torn asunder. And we step into the story. We step into the very presence of the only one that can help us. Interesting thing. When Eli finally recognizes that what she is about is prayer and not hard drink, he says, "Go in peace. The God of Israel grant the petition you have made him." And she says, "Let your servant find favor in your sight." Now, Hebrew does not have a word. The Hebrew language does not have a word for grace. The closest is this very word that is here translated as find favor, which is the word Han. And her name is Hannah. May God be gracious unto you. May you become your name, Hannah. The table of grace, indeed it was. And she goes on, and she has a son, and she gives her son. And later on it says that she went on to have three more sons and two daughters. And her countenance is lifted from this point. She's just able to step forward. And a whole new chapter is begun in the life of God's people. As Samuel goes on to become the last of the judges, perhaps the first of the prophets. The precursor, the one who calls forth the kings. King Saul, and then King David. A new chapter has begun. Just a note about her song. Her song is a precursor. I don't know if you heard echoes in it, but in this song, we hear another young woman, a young woman who comes before the Lord as one who has been graced with a child, a woman by the name of Mary, who gave birth to Jesus. This song is a radical, revolutionary song about a God who changes things. About God who is God of all that is, about God who raises the poor and brings low the rich, a God of all people.